You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2025. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayera. And in our Parsha, the beginning of the Parsha talks about the good news that Sarah Imenu receives. She's going to have a baby boy within a year's time. Angels come and tell her that. Torah tells us about the destruction of Sodom. And eventually she has this child, but before she does, the Torah inserts another story that happens similar to what happened in last week's Parsha with Sarah Imenu. She's already 90 years old, but obviously she was still incredibly beautiful. Happened with Paro. She was taken into Paro's palace. Happens again this week with Avimelech. Avimelech takes her. I'd like to read to you from the Psukim, and there's a little point in here, which also relates to something that happened in last week's Parsha. And there's a very powerful idea, a powerful lesson. Pasuk says, Avram Avinu travels, and he ends up in this place called Gerar. Once again, Avram says to his wife, say that you're my sister. Or he says that it's my sister. So Avimelech, the king of the area, takes Sarah to marry her. Something very interesting happens. God appears to Avimelech in a dream at night. He says, you're going to die because of the woman that you've taken. Pasuk says, she's married. And as we'll see in the Medrash, it doesn't say, he eshes ish, which is the normal language of it. She's the wife of a man. It says, v'hibu ulas baal, she's married. She has a husband. Pasuk says, v'avimelech likora v'ileo. Avimelech didn't come closer. V'yemar Hashem, hagoy gan sadik tarog. He says, why am I going to die? I didn't know anything about this. Halayu amar liachosi. He said, it's my sister. V'gami amro achiyu. She also said, it's my brother. He says, I'm innocent, I didn't do anything wrong. And Hashem says to him, indeed, I know. But nevertheless, if you keep her, you're going to die. So, give her back. He'll pray for you. Avram Avinu will pray. He's a Navi, he's a prophet. His prayer works. And that's the story. So, the Medrash, in explaining the words, V'hibu ulas baal, says something very interesting. Amar of Acha, why does it use this unusual language when describing the fact that she's married? Why doesn't it say she's an HSC, she's a married woman? Why does it say V'ibu ulas baal? Which sounds like, as the Mefarshim explained, it sounds like she's the bailam of her baal. She's in some way the I don't want to say the word owner, but the word, there's a certain bialis, there's a certain ownership that she has over her husband. What does it mean? Medrash says something which is a little cryptic, which we're going to see in another Medrash, which this one is referencing. It's back in last week's Parsha. But the words are that her husband was crowned by her. She was Avraham's crown. But she was not crowned by Avraham. Somehow she is a crown. We need to understand what a crown means, the concept of a crown. She is Avraham's crown. And he is not Sarah's crown. Rabbanan Amri, Marta the Baila. The Rabbanan, perhaps in explaining this statement, they say she is, again, hard to translate precisely, but she is a ruler over. She has a certain dominion over her husband. B'chol makam ha'ish geizer. Generally speaking, the husbands make the decisions. The husbands make the gzeira. They can have input from their wives, but the executor is the husband. Baram hocho. However, over here, between Avram and Sarah, there was a different kind of relationship. Hashem says, which is something that happens later on in the Parsha, after Yitzchak is born, So Yishmael is seen doing things to belittle, to make fun of Yitzchak. And Sarah says, get rid of her. Get rid of him, get rid of her. Get rid of Yishmael, get rid of his mother Hagar. And Avram doesn't want to do it, but Hashem says to Avram, whatever Sarah says, you got to listen to her. She has a certain advantage. In some way, she has a greater Ruach HaKodesh, greater divine inspiration. And she's correct to say that the maidservant and his and her son has to go. So she paskins. She says something and Avram has to listen. So she is the crown. And when we talk about a crown, it's important to understand that a crown is something that sits on top of the head. It's something that sits above, right? It goes right on the head. And the head is the place of intellect, right? When a person makes a decision, so the person employs their intellect. There's chokhmah, there's bina, different types of understanding, there's das. But above the head is a keser, is a crown. And the crown represents, in the deeper svarim, it represents beyond thought. It's deeper than thought. And what's there beyond chachma and bina? What's beyond that is ratzon. It's a person's desire, the raw desire. Before, and it's a spiritual desire. Sarah Imenu is the atara, she's the crown, which means to say that in a certain way, Sarah directs Avraham's thoughts. She directs his decisions. Usually it's the man who makes the decisions, directs the household. But in the case of Avram and Sarah, somehow, she was the one who directed the decisions. And so, it's very interesting, because Hashem is saying to Avimelech, you can't take her. Not just is she an Eishes Ish. Eishes Ish, she's married to somebody, okay. Let him divorce her and she can marry somebody else. This is a Be'ulas Baal. She is connected to Avram in a different way than a usual wife is connected to a husband. She is, in a certain way, like the husband herself. She is like a husband. She is a higher level. And because of that, you can't take her. She's not accessible to you. You can't kill him and take her. There's an intimate bond that's closer and more important than anything else. I'd like to share with you the Medrash earlier. It's in Parshas Lech Lecha, last week's Parsha. Which if we take what we just said, the concept that we just explained, we can understand the other medrash also in a deeper way. Pasuk says, Vayomer Elokim Sarah Yishtecho. This is in last week's parsha where Hashem is saying to Avram Avinu that he's going to have a child. The beginning of our parsha, the Malachim come, and they also inform Avram, which he already knows, that he's going to have a child, but they speak to Sarah as well. She finds out at the beginning of this week's Parsha. But at the end of last week's Parsha, Hashem tells Avram a few things. He says, you're going to have a kid. He says, you're going to do a milah. You're going to have a circumcision. And he says, your name is going to change. And your wife's name is going to change. Until now, you were called Avram. She was called Sarai. Now your name is going to be Avraham with an extra hey, and her name is going to lose that yud, the Sarai, and become Sarah with a hey at the end. So what's going on here? Something very interesting. Listen to this carefully. We'll try to understand it together. Interestingly, the Medrash here brings, before quoting what we said earlier in our Medrash, brings a pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk says, Mishlei Perkid Beis Pasuk Dalad, Eish Yischael, who is the woman of valor? Ateres Baila. She is someone who's the crown of her husband. As we describe Sarah, Sarah is the one who is the crown of her husband. That's what a true Eish Yischael is. A true woman of valor. Amar Avacha, Baila Nesater Ba, V'yiloy Nesater Baila. She was the crown of Avraham. She directed his thoughts. She directed his actions, and Hashem says, listen to her. And it wasn't the opposite in the case of Avram and Sarah. Rabbanu Rami Martid Labayla B'chol Mokam Ha'ish Goyze B'ram Ha'cha Kol Asher Tomer Alecha Sarah Shema B'Koyla. It quotes the same medrash that we said. But now it says something interesting and different. Amar Yeshua Ben Karcha. Yeshua Ben Karcha says like this. Yud Shenato LaKodesh Baruch Hu Misarai Nechla Chetzei L'Sarah V'Chetzei Avram. The Yud of Sarai What happened to that yud? Hashem took away the yud of the name Sarai, replaced it with a hey. Now, we have a spiritual rule, a rule of reality. And that rule is that if there's a certain energy that's in the world, you can't lose that energy. It doesn't escape. It doesn't disappear. It goes somewhere else. There's a letter yud in Sarai's name. Where did that yud go to? The yud is a special spiritual energy. Where did that spiritual energy go to? So the first pshat is, that we're about to read, Hashem took that yud, which the numerical value of the word, of the letter yud is 10, and he split it into two fives. Nechla chesi, l'serva chesi le'avram. A five is a hey, right? The letter yud is the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The letter hey is the 5th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you take the 10 of the yud, you split it into two fives, that's two heys. One hey goes to Avraham, now he gets a new name. One hey goes to Sarai, she becomes Sarah with a hey. Which means to say that somehow the spiritual aspect of Sarai, which was a yud, whatever that means, we're going to try to understand. That yud is split, and half of it is retained by Sarah. She gets a new name, and half of it is given over to Avraham. Which is very interesting, because at that point in the parsha, when the name is changing, that's when Avram finds out that he's going to have a kid. Until that moment, all that was Avram's child through Hagar, which was Yishmael. Hashem says, that's not going to be, your spiritual destiny is not going to be fulfilled through Yishmael. He's going to be a great nation, with 12 princes that will come from him, till this very day. The Arab world has a power in the world. They have a spiritual power, a physical power. But that's not going to be your main spiritual progenitor. It's going to come from Sarah. How does it come? It comes by Sarah losing the yud being split into two hays, and each half being given to one to Avram, one to Sarah. We need to understand what this means. But before we do, there's another pshat, what happened to that yud. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rishim Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, he says a different understanding. Yud shenotal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misarai Yotas Uporech Lefnei Kisei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The yud that was taken off of the name of Sarah, it flew up in the air. And it flew all the way in front of the throne of Hashem's glory. The Kisei HaKavod. Or the fun of. And it said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam. He complained. He said, look, I'm a very small letter. I'm the smallest of the letters. The letter Yud is the smallest letter that there is in the Hebrew alphabet. It's just a dot. It's just a little line. So the Yud complained and said, why did you take me out of Sarah's name? She's a great tzaddikas. She's a righteous individual. I want to be part of that name. The name is the essence of the human being. Don't remove me. Don't take me out. So Hashem responds and says, don't worry. I'm taking you out of here, but there's a spiritual principle that the energy is not lost. It's going to go somewhere else. Until now, you are in the name of a female, Sarah, and you were at the end of her name. The letter Yud was at the end of Sarai. Now I'm going to put you into the name of a male, and I'm going to put you at the beginning of his name, Shenemar. Who had a yud added to his name? Who had a yud added to his name? Hoshea ben Nun. The leader of the Jewish people after Moshe was Yehoshua, but his name was originally Hoshea. And when he was going to act as a spy on behalf of the Jewish people to seek out the land, to see how it would be possible to conquer the land. So Moshe added the letter Yud to his name. So it would be Yehoshua, which if you look at Rashi over there, the point was to add so that until now his name was Hoshea, just had a hey in his name. Now it's Yehoshua, he has a Yud and a hey. Now he has Hashem's name in his name. So he's going to be imbued with a spirituality. And he'll be able to overcome the Eitzah of the spies, the plan to to prevent the Jewish people from entering into the land of Israel. And ultimately, he would be the one to lead the Jewish people into the land of Israel and conquer the land of Israel and distribute it amongst the tribes of Israel. But where did that koach come from? Right here. He got the yud from Sarai, the name of Sarah, which had a yud in it. And remember, she's the one who's the progenitor of the Jewish people. Yoshua would have that yud, that spiritual power that she had. It goes to Yoshua. And he's the one who brings the Jewish people into Israel. Amar Rav Mana, the Medrash finishes off with a small three lines. L'sha'avar ha'isa sari la'atzma. Before that, she was a princess on her own. Achshav tehei hisar l'chol ba'olam. But now she's going to be a princess. Sarai means I'm my own princess. I'm a princess for myself. I'm a private person. I'm a tzedekis. I'm righteous. But I'm not necessarily going to have an impact on the whole world. But now she becomes Sarah. Now she has a Yitzchak. Now she's going to be able to have a child. And that child is going to have a child named Yaakov. And Yaakov is going to have 12 tribes. And that's going to be the beginning of the Jewish people, which is going to have a huge impact on the entire world. She wasn't just going to be somebody who had a lifetime of good, and that was the end of it. She was going to have generations of good, down to this very day, 3,700 years later. She's going to have offspring that would have an impact on the entire world. A Muslim religion will come out of it. Christianity will be the result of it. The whole world will be impacted by the Jewish people, her progeny, directly. It was something that she didn't have before. Sarai is mine, my princess. Sarah is everyone's princess. That's the Medrash. So, Eina Medrash Amir Ela Dashen, we need to understand the concept of the Yud, of the Yud splitting into two hays, the Yud being taken away, given to Yoshua, now it being something that's going to have an impact on the world. These three ideas of the second Medrash, Medrash and Parshas Lech Lecha, what is the concept of the Yud? What is the concept of the Hey? And of course, as we said, these two letters are letters of Hashem's name, the Yud and the Hey. I was discussing this with my son Moshe Dov, and he mentioned the famous Gemara that says, Ish v'Isha, right? A man and a woman. So, if you look at the difference between the word Ish and the word Isha, the word Ish, which means a man, has a Yud in it. Word Isha is the same letters, but it has a hey instead of a yud. And the Gemara says, if they're zaycha, so they have a yud and a hey, they have Hashem's name in their life. They have the Shechina, the divine presence in their life. But if they're not, the yud and the hey fall out. And what's left is Eish. What's left is fire. They destroy each other. Their egos destroy each other. If they have spirituality, so then they do well. So you already see in that Medrash, in that Gemara, that the letter Yud in the Hey in a person's name or in a couple's name represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the letters of Hashem's names, of Hashem's name. When we talk about Sarah losing a Yud, getting a Hey, or Yud splitting into two Hays, we can understand it like this. The Yud and the Hey are really letters of Hashem's name. And what do these letters mean? What do these letters mean? Yud and a hey and a vav and a hey. Right, we don't say these names, but we look at the name every time we open a siddur. It says it in front of our eyes. Yud, then hey, then vav, then hey. What do these letters represent? And the deeper sources explain that the yud represents the spirituality. It's the smallest letter. The yud is the spiritual aspect of everything. It's the soul. It's the soul aspect. But it's the soul, it's that which Hashem wishes to give, it's the animating force, but it's without the goof, it's without something to receive it and develop it. The letter He is a hand, right? A hand has five fingers, it's represented by the letter He. There's a hand that receives, and that's really the female aspect. This is Ish is a Yud. The man's role is to be a giver. He's the ordinarily the instigator. He's the one who starts things. He's the one who has endless potential in him. He's the one who has, in the aspect of his ability to have children, millions of potentials. And the woman is the aspect of the hay, the receiver. She has one potential to create life, one at a time. She's the one that receives, delineates. She's the one that defines and develops. Right? That's the aspect of the hay, the receiving hand. Until this moment, neither Avram nor Sarah, neither of them had the ability to receive and develop. To receive and to, they were people who were givers. They wanted to bring spirituality into the world, to bring God's light into the world. And they could do that to a certain extent where they were, but they didn't have the ability to receive it in such a way that it would continue beyond them. Maybe Yishmael will be that person? No. Avram on his own, with someone like Hagar, he couldn't do it on his own. He could not create a human being. He could not create somebody who would continue the mission. His destiny was only, as Hashem said to him in last week's parasha, only through Sarah. But Sarah initially had to get to a point. She's 90 years old, given up all hope that she can't be anything more than a yud. She can't be anything more than a concept, right? The male is the concept person, right? More often in ADD, which is people who have concepts going on, have a hard time completing them. More men have ADD than women. That's just a physical fact. Conceptually, that concept is male. Receiving and developing is female. But she herself, in a certain way, she was Sarai. She only had the concept. She had the yud. And that yud is something that begins things. Think about Yahushua. Yahushua was not the one who really completed, but he started off the Jewish people's conquest of the land of Israel. He never completed it. He spent 7 years on it. He accomplished a lot with it, but he didn't complete it. He had the yud. He had the yud of Sarai. He had the ability to start something, but not make something that would be complete and that could last forever. The Jewish people, after 150 years, was exiled from Israel. What Yahushua did wasn't completed. You know, that's, Yahushua had the power to start it, but didn't have the power to complete it. It's when the yud is split into a hay and a hay, which really means, and this is the concept of the crown, it really means that she and Avraham are in a relationship that Avraham can't do on his own. Usually, it's the man who leads, it's the man who directs, it's the man who's the yud. But Sarah was the one who had to be the one to say, get rid of Yishmael, send him away. Avraham couldn't do that on his own. He couldn't whittle it down. He couldn't whittle it down properly. Only once Sarai had the ability to direct, to be the atara, to be the beyond thought, the director of will, director of thought. Sarah had that when, at this point, it was given to her, when the yud was taken away, and all of a sudden there's a hay for her and a hay for him, which means that they have to split things evenly in their reception, in their receiving and developing. That was something that Avram could not do on his own with Hagar and Yishmael. It was only with Sarah. It was only with Sarah. Until that moment, she was only herself. She was still a concept. As long as she was Sarai, she was just to herself. She was just a concept. Once that hay, that yud splits into two hays, she becomes someone who's a princess for the entire world. Avimelech wants to take Sarah to be his wife. Avimelech, you're a nice guy. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't realize it was his wife. But he didn't understand something even deeper about her. She's not, you know, Avimelech, who are you? You're the Melech Gerar. You're a great king. But you're a king of Gerar. Do you know who this woman is? She's Be'ulah's Baal. She is Avraham's absolute only partner. She's the unique individual who, her combined talent with Avram's combined talent When they bring those two human beings together, they each have a hey and a hey. Before that, she's just Sarai. She's just a power by herself. She can affect the current generation. Avram is a power by himself. He doesn't have the hey. But now, she's Mulas Baal. She is somebody who her power splits into two, and they're inseparable. Sarah and Avram are inseparable. You can't vihipa ulas baal. She's not just an ashish, a married woman. She's not just somebody who you can kill off her husband. She's connected to him in a way which is absolutely unusual. Unusual. She helps him become the man he's supposed to be. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can do that but her. And she's not, and you can't take somebody like that. You can't marry somebody like that. That's the concept. So what? What does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? It's easy to be somebody who has ideas. It's easy to be somebody who wants to inspire others. It's easy to be somebody who the concepts are flowing. But how do we don't just want something that's nice for now. I don't just want a song that people sing now. I want a song that people are going to sing for 100 years from now. I want it still long after I'm gone that my message continues. We want our children and our children's children and our great-great-grandchildren to be oiskim atayr v'mitzvahs, to have a relationship with Hashem. How do we do it? How do we do it? Avram and Sarah did it. Myself is similar, there's something powerful that the Torah is teaching us about them that we need to take for ourselves so that our lives are meaningful forever. Forever. The impact of our lives should be here forever. And it's teaching us that it's not enough to have a concept. It's not enough to have an idea. It's teaching us that we have to be able to split the yud. We have to split that yud. And we have to split it into two hays. And I would say that we need to take the people around us. We need to realize that Hashem places people in our lives with whom we're supposed to partner. We're supposed to work with them. We're supposed to say, I'm not just the only one here. As long as Sarai is by herself, she's a princess by herself, she can't do it all. As long as Avram is just the Av of Aram, he's thinking small, he's going to be impressive in where he comes from, but when is he going to have an impact on the world? It's only possible when they split it, when they split that yud. They learn to become a partnership, and he stops thinking about other possibilities. It's only this wife, this is my wife, this is Sarah, and it seems impossible, but it's magical. It's magical. Hashem gives us, in our lives, individuals, opportunities, talents, all of the ingredients in our potential success. And the question is, do I get stuck in how I think it should be in a way that I'm only thinking about, per se, let's say, this moment or the thing that's in front of me? Do I have a bigger picture? Can I see how I can impact beyond this small circle, beyond how can I extend my impact? Everything that Hashem gives us, all the tools that are around us are meant to be used. And I think that the Medrash is teaching us that this is the correct approach in thinking about our lives. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us to think less about my own impact. The famous thing that was said, if you want to have a true impact, you got to be willing to give the credit to let someone else take the credit. I think that that's really the bottom line here. I could be concerned about my personal impact, my personal honor, people knowing that I did it, but Hashem should help us to give less chashivas, less importance to my own little way of thinking. Hashem should help us to involve others, to collaborate with others, to team up, let other people have the credit. Work together. Get rid of my little yud. Give us my two, the hays. Hashem, please give us the letters hey that we can receive and develop alongside all those around us. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.